بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ورسولنا المبعوث رحمة للعالمين أما بعد فعن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه قال قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاثة لا يكلمهم الله يوم القيامة ولا ينظر إليهم ولا يزكيهم ولهم عذاب أليم المسبل إزاره والمنان والمنفق سلعته بالحلف الكاذب أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته. Dear respected friends, elders, muhtaram dosto, buzurgo, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear respected friends, elders, as we open the glorious Quran and we start reading from one side, the first surah to come in the Quran is Suratul Fatiha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts off the opening verses by reminding us that all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. From Rabbil Alameen, الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some of his qualities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he describes himself. What is the first description? Rabbil Alameen, that all praise is due to that Allah who is the Lord of all of the universes. And then he says, الرحمن الرحيم. Allah ta'ala says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, the most beneficent, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the merciful one. The point I want to make over here, my dear friends, in the introductory description and introduction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes our minds towards His mercy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ayat mein hameh اپنی رحمت کی یاد دلاتے ہیں. Allah Ta'ala reminds us of His mercy, my dear friends. And Suratul Fatiha was that surah which was to be repeated in every rakat of salah. Suratul Fatiha was that surah which was to be repeated in every rakat of salah. And it is only 7 verses long. And knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how eloquent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, you and I could not imagine that Allah would repeat Himself. But my dear friends, we see in Suratul Fatiha, just imagine how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that not once but 2 times He mentions the quality of His mercy, my dear friends. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْخَلْقِ كَتَبَ فِي كِتَابٍ فَهُوَ عِنْدَهُ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ إِنَّ رَحْمَتِي تَغْلِبُ غَضَبِي. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this creation, He created the skies, the earth, the mountains, the 7 heavens, the 7 layers of the earth. Then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created His arsh as well, Allah ta'ala has written somewhere, and this something, wherever Allah has written on, is on top of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it say on that piece of writing? Allah has Himself written this message. What is the message? Inna rahmati taghlibu ghadabi, that my mercy will always overcome my anger. Allah ta'ala ne ek parchi par ek paigham likha hai. Aur ye parchi kahan hai? یہ عرش کے پاس یہ پرچی ہے. اور کیا لکھا ہوا ہے؟ کہ بے شک میری رحمت میرے غصے پر ہمیشہ سبقت کرتی ہے. بے شک میری رحمت ہمیشہ میرے غصے پر غلبہ کرتا ہے. My rahmat will always overcome my anger. My dear friends, how merciful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once some prisoners were brought to him. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu says, some prisoners were once brought to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And from these prisoners, there were children as well. And there was one woman who was running around everywhere looking for her child. And whenever she would see a child, she would pick up the child and take it close to her chest, thinking that if this is my child, let me breastfeed my child. Let me breastfeed my child. So she sees a child over here, picks him up. Sees a child over there, picks him up. Sees a child over there, picks him up. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions, they are looking at this whole scene. They are looking at this whole scene. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the companions that look at this mother. She is so caring and so compassionate and so concerned about her child. Do you ever think this mother would throw her child into the fire? Do you ever see this woman throwing her child into the fire? Is it even comprehensible? Is it even imaginable that this woman would do so? Companion said, of course, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not in the fire of this world and not in the fire of this hereafter. Never would this woman let her child go to waste, go to destruction. So Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu arhamu bi'ibadihi min hadhihi liwaladih. Allah ta'ala is more merciful to his servants than this woman is towards her own child. Allahu Akbar. Imagine how merciful Allah Ta'ala is. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that there's one man, he's entered into Jannah, and after bringing iman in Allah, after tawheed, this person has never done a good deed in his life. This person, Allah grants him entry into Jannah, and who was this person? He was an average Muslim. He wasn't a good Muslim. He was that Muslim who only brought iman on Allah, and after that he prayed no namaz, no salah, no hajj, no fasting, no good deed in his life. And he's got even more. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam elaborates on his story. And he says, this person, as he was dying, he started to get some concern for the hereafter. So he said to his children, that, oh my children, when I die, then I want you to burn my body. When I die, I want you to burn my body. And when my body will turn into pieces of coal, I want you to grind these pieces of coal until this coal and my body turns into powder. Half of my powder, half of my body, I want you to throw it and spread it in the ocean. And half of my body, I want you to spread it over the whole earth. So that Allah cannot grab me, so that Allah cannot gather me together and punish me. Because if Allah was to punish me, there'll be nobody on this earth who'll get more severe punishment than me. These children, when the father passed away, they did what the father said. They burnt him. When his body turned into coal, they grinded the coal until it turned into powder. Half the powder, they took it all around the earth and they spread it on the earth. And half the powder, they took it all along, and they spread it all in the oceans. My dear friends, obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power to gather every single particle together. My dear friends, Allah ta'ala, nothing can hide from the power and the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, you know, some dark thing walking in the brightest of days, and that small black ant, walking in the darkness of night on the darkest of stones, it is the same in the ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the children did all of this. Allah ta'ala ordered the earth. Allah ta'ala ordered the ocean. They brought all of his body back together, all this powder back together. And Allah ta'ala blew his soul back into his body. When Allah ta'ala resurrected him, Allah ta'ala said to him, oh my servant, why did you do this for? Why did you order your children to do such a thing? He said, Ya Rabbi mim makhafatik. O Allah, out of your fear. O Allah, I did this out of your fear. I was scared that what will be my hashar? How will I be resurrected in your court? O Allah, you would have punished me. So O Allah, I was scared. So Allah Ta'ala said to him, O my dear servant, if you did it out of my fear, then go, I grant you Jannah. Go, I grant you Jannah. Allahu Akbar. We can't imagine the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why, my dear friends, never should we become despondent and give up and lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala tells us in the Quran that, O my dear servants, لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Never become despondent and never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. My dear friends, my dear elders, I have seen many youngsters in Canada as well. And I meet many youngsters in UK as well. And one problem in our youngsters is, when they see they're not following religion, they start losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they see a few problems in their life, they start losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now, for solution to their problems, they turn to drugs. They turn to alcohol. And now, because their problems are not making sense to them, and they're so confused in life, now they start questioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear young ones and my elderly people, send this message to your children that never lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our children, they have been to madrasa. Our children, they pray their salah. Our children, they try to fast. They are much more better than that one man who, after accepting iman, he did no good in his life. If Allah forgave him, then why would Allah not forgive you and I, my dear friends? Why would Allah not forgive you and I? So on a side note, I want to say, never lose hope and never become despondent in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Moving on to the hadith I want to share with you, my dear friends. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ رَحْمَةَ مِئَةَ جُزْءٍ. Allah ta'ala has made His mercy in 100 portions. Allah has made 100 portions of His mercy. And He has only sent down one portion of His mercy into this dunya. And Allah Ta'ala withholds 99 portions of His mercy so that Allah Ta'ala can manifest His mercy on you and I tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. He gives an example. He says, do you see every mother being so compassionate, so merciful, so kind, so concerned with regards to children? Do you see a Nabi being so kind and he looks out for his ummah? Do you see the animal king, the animal land and the animal world? How each animal, the parent is so merciful towards the child, the sibling is so merciful towards one another. He says all these examples of mercy, even the examples of Rahmatul Lil Alameen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and His mercy for this ummah, my dear friends, it only falls into the category of 1% of the mercy of Allah. Only 1% of the mercy of Allah. Let me give you an example of the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this ummah. He says, مَثَلِي وَمَثَلُكُمْ كَمَثَلِ رَجُلٍ أَوْقَدَ نَارًا فَجَعَلَ الْجَنَادِبُ وَالْفَرَاشُ يَقَعْنَ فِيهَا وَهُوَ يَذُبُّهُنَّ عَنْهَا. He said, my example and the example of my ummah is like that person who lights a fire. He needed to do something, so he lights a fire. Now the fireflies and the insects, thinking the fire is something good for them, they start flying into this fire. They start going with very high speed entering into this fire. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, this man who lighted the fire, he's trying to stop these insects from coming into the fire. He's trying to stop these insects from coming into the fire. He says, similarly, I have came into this world to warn you people from the fire of Jahannam. But you people continue to sin and you continue to enter into the fire of Jahannam. وَأَنَا أَخِذٌ بِحُجَزِكُمْ. And I am holding on to your waist. I am holding on to your belts. Why did he say the waist? Because in those days, what were the garments? Like the ihram today. One lungi and one chadar at the top. One bottom garment, one top garment. And the bottom garment, people would tie it and it would become like a belt. So he says, I am holding on to the most firm part of the garment on your bodies, but still, وَأَنْتُمْ تَفَلَّتُونَ مِي يَدَيْهِ You people are slipping out of my hands. Look at this example. That people, insects going into the fire, this man is trying to stop these insects. Similarly, oh my ummati, you are entering into the fire, I'm trying to stop you from the fire, so much so I am holding on to your waist, yet you people are slipping out of my hands. In another hadith he says, I am more merciful towards you than your own mothers and fathers are merciful towards the children. This is how merciful the Nabi is for the ummah, yet all the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam and their concern and their mercy upon the ummah, and every mother and father and their mercy upon their children, and every sheikh and every ustad and his mercy upon his students, and every animal and their mercy towards one another, it only falls in the category of 1% of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala says, and Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, that Allah ta'ala saves 99% of his mercy for tomorrow, the day of judgment. The hadith that I recited in front of you, my dear friends, let me translate it for you now. ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ There are three categories of people, three types of people Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will not talk to these people with mercy tomorrow on the day of judgment. They are Muslims. He's not talking about non-Muslims over here. Three categories of people, despite Allah Ta'ala saving 99% of his mercies for tomorrow on the day of judgment, these three categories of people, my dear friends, Allah Ta'ala will not talk to these people with mercy. Allah will not talk to these people with mercy. My dear friends, وَلَا يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِمْ Leave aside talking to these people with mercy. Allah will not even look towards these people with mercy. Allahu Akbar. Allah will not even look towards these people with mercy. وَلَا يُزَكِّيهِمْ Nor will Allah Ta'ala purify them. What does it mean by tazkiyah? What does it mean by purify? There will be people who will come with heaps and heaps of sins. Allah Ta'ala will say, go, I forgive you, enter into Jannah. This is how easy it will be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive his servants tomorrow on the day of judgment. But these three people have angered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so badly, without punishing them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let them go. Other people, they will come with heaps and heaps of sins. If Allah Ta'ala wants, Allah will say, you know what, you were a bad servant, but you know what, today I want to shower you with my mercy. Go, I forgive all your sins. I turn all your sins into good deeds. Enter into Jannah. But these three people, nor will Allah Ta'ala look towards them with mercy. Nor will Allah Ta'ala talk to them with mercy. Nor will Allah Ta'ala purify them. Instead, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ These people will have a very severe punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very severe punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these three types of sins, my dear friends, are those sins that you and I never take them to be major. You and I never take them to be very severe sins. We have not understood the magnitude and the severity and the size and the heaviness of these sins, my dear friends. But they are very, very grave sins. You and I have taken them to be very insignificant. So first of all, my dear friends, before I continue before I enumerate these sins to you, let us all make this firm intention that we want to make sure we do not commit these sins and we do not end up becoming from these categories of people. Do we all make the intention, my dear friends? Inshallah. We don't want to be from these people. First person, Al-Musbilu Izarahu Wo Admi Jo Apni Izar Ko Apni Lungi Ko Apni Jubbe Ko Takhne Ke Niche Utarta Hai. Takhne Ke Niche Latkata Hai. That person who lets his trousers, who lets his jubbah, who lets any garment which comes from top to bottom, whether it's his amama, whether it's his shirt and he's wearing a shirt with in a style that's a very, very long shirt and it hangs below his ankles, or his jubbah, it hangs below the ankles, my dear friends, this person will get this punishment tomorrow on the day of judgment. Now, how many of us, my dear friends, no matter how many times our Imam Sahib, no matter how many times, you know, big ulama come, and they will tell us, they will announce, please lift your trousers above your ankles. We'll do it for 5 minutes inside salah. And the moment we leave the boundary of the masjid, we let our trousers hang below our ankles again. So sad, my dear friends. So sad, my dear friends. Such a grave sin this is. Such a grave sin this is, and so much punishment this person will get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, مَا أَسْفَلَ مِنَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ فَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ. Whatever garment goes below the ankles, and we're not talking about the socks, we're not talking about if someone wears boots, because these are coming from bottom to top. We're talking about that garment which goes from top to bottom. He says, مَا أَسْفَلَ مِنَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ. That portion of that portion and that garment which goes below the ankle, then this whole body will enter into the fire of Jahannam. This whole body will enter into the fire of Jahannam. My dear friends, there was one companion, and he came to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the incident of him accepting Islam. This is the incident of him accepting Islam. So he came, he met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sajibi came and he said, "Alaykum as-salam, ya Rasulullah." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Don't say alaykum as-salam. Don't say alaykum as-salam. Alaykum as-salam tahiyyatul mauta. Alaykum as-salam is the greeting in those days when someone would go to the qabrastan. He would say alaykum as-salam. He said, "Don't say alaykum as-salam. Say as-salamu alaykum. Don't say alaykum as-salam. Say as-salamu alaykum." He came and he asked, "Are you the Rasul of Allah? Are you the Prophet of Allah?" He said, "Yes, I am the Prophet of that Allah. When you go through any kind of difficulty and you call unto him, then this Allah will take you out of your problems." And he gave a bayan about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person, he said, O Prophet Muhammad, ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. He accepts Islam. He accepts Islam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is his first meeting with him. This is his first meeting with him. Imagine when you meet with a new Muslim for the first time, what kind of advice you would give to him. You say, make sure you pray your salah properly. Now Allah Ta'ala has forgiven your sins. Make sure you do this, make sure you do this, make sure you do this. From these very, very important and essential advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to him? Lift up your trousers. Lift up your lungi, lift up your izar. Lift up your izar and take them halfway between your knees and your ankles, because this is my sunnah. My sunnah is, the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is, my dear friends, that the trousers go and the izar and the jubba goes halfway between the ankles and the knees. Halfway between the ankles and the knees. This is the sunnah. And then Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِنْ أَبَيْتَ. If you are not able to do this, if you're scared, or if you've got some illness and you need to cover your legs, or you feel that, you know, if I let my jubba go too high or my izar go too high, it's cold outside and I will catch a cold. If you can't do it halfway, then at the least, do not let these trousers go below the ankles. At the least, do not let these trousers go below the ankles. But dear friends, this is the sunnah and the way of life and the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As the Shaykh al-Hadith, as the Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, a very, very great, a very pious saint. We have all heard his name. The author of Fadailul A'mal. In his last ages, in his last days, once he was in Medina Munawwara. He was in Medina Munawwara and it was the day of Jumu'ah. And you know, my dear friends, when we go Medina Munawwara, when we go Haram Sharif, when it is the day of Jumu'ah, thousands and thousands of people are entering into the masjid. If we want a good place in the masjid, we will have to go to the masjid early. We will have to go to the masjid early. So Shaykh, his khuddam, his servicemen, they are rolling, they are taking him in the wheelchair. And Hazrat Shaykh, as he's going to the masjid, his eyes and his gaze falls on his jubba. His gaze falls on his jubba and he realizes this jubba is slightly long. This jubba is slightly long. So he says to his khuddam, "Quickly, quickly, take me back to the hotel. Take me back to the room. Take me back to the room." The khuddam, they're thinking, maybe Hazrat needs to answer the call of nature. He needs to go to the toilet. Maybe Hazrat's feeling very sick. Maybe Hazrat's about to vomit. So he's telling us, "Quickly, take me back." When they got back to the hotel, to their surprise, as the Shaykh Rahmatullah Alayhi said, take this jubba off and give me the jubba that we were wearing yesterday. Take this jubba off because you people have not tailored the jubba properly. It is not that this jubba was going below the ankles. It is not that this jubba was going below the ankles. The jubba was just longer than the sunnah length. So he said, take this jubba off and give me the same jubba from yesterday, because this jubba is against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Look at the love these people had for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And as a side point, my dear friends, let me mention to you that there's a difference between hadith and sunnah. There's a difference between hadith and sunnah. Hum har hadith par nahi chalte hai. Hadith aur sunnat mein bahut bada fark hai. Sunnat ka matlab yeh hai, aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ka, balki hadith ka matlab yeh hai. Hadith ka matlab yeh hai ke jo bhi report ho aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke mutalliq, khwa wo aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne ek koi baat farmayi ho, khwa kisi ne aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ko koi kaam karte hue dekha ho, jo bhi aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke mutalliq koi report ho, usko hadith kehte hain. Lekin sunnat mein fark hai. Sunnat ka matlab yeh hai ke aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ka pasandeeda tareeqa. Hadith ka matlab yeh hai ke koi bhi amal mein aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne yeh kiya hai, yeh kiya hai, yeh kiya hai, yeh kiya hai, yeh kiya hai. Ab panch alag alag cheeze hain, to bhai sunnat kya hai, ye humko kya karna chahiye, hame yeh karna chahiye, yeh karna chahiye, yeh sab hadith hai, yeh sab hadith hai. Hum ahlul hadith nahi, hum ahlus sunnah hai. Hum hadith par nahi amal karte, hum to sunnat par amal karte hain. Isiliye aap sallallahu alaihi wasallam ne kahi yeh nahi farmaya, alaykum bi hadithi, kya farmaya, alaykum bi sunnati. Aisa nahi farmaya mere hadith ko lazim pakro, yeh farmaya ke meri sunnat ko lazim pakro. Isse ke hadith mein to ek amal mein panch mukhtalif amal honge, lekin jab fuqaha, jab ulama in par gaur karenge, to wo is natije par pahunchenge ke in panch mein se sabse behtar tareeqa yeh hai, lihaza yeh sunnat hai. لہٰذا اس پر عمل کرنے میں سنت کا اجر ملے گا, ان چاروں میں یہ سنت کا اجر نہیں ملے گا. But dear friends, we must understand that there's a difference between hadith and there's a difference between sunnah. Hadith is any report from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whether it is something that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did, whether it is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what any report with regards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is a hadith. But so you will have one amal and you will find Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did this, he did this, he did this, he did this. But sunnah is when the ulama, they will look deep into the masla and the ulama will come to the conclusion that this is the best way to do this, so this is the sunnah. Let me give you one example. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when you go into the toilet to relieve yourself and when you sit down to relieve yourself, fala tastaqbilu al-qiblata wa la tastadbiruha, do not face the qibla and do not put your backs towards the qibla as well. This is one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But in other ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find that in one, two occasions Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was relieving himself, then his back was towards the qibla. His back was towards the qibla. Now we've got a problem. In one hadith he's saying that do not face the qibla and do not let your back go towards the qibla. And in another hadith we find he himself is letting his back go towards the qibla. So if it was up to you and I, there's contradiction in the hadith. There's contradiction in the hadith. You and I would be confused. Yeah, shall we practice this or shall we practice this? You and I would be confused. But when the fuqaha, they go deep into it, they will say that there was a reason, there was an excuse. There was an excuse, there was an uzr. There was an excuse for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe if he went to face this direction, there was this harm, or maybe he was in some bodily pain, he wasn't able to turn, that's why he did this. But this is not the sunnah. Just because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, it does not make it sunnah. Sunnah is this, that فَلَا تَسْتَقْبِلُ الْقِبْلَ وَلَا تَسْتَدْبِرُوهَا, do not face towards the qibla, do not put your back towards the qibla. So this is the, let me give you another example. Many a times we hear people saying that it is sunnah that we can keep our hair up to our ears, or we can keep our hair up to our shoulders. This is wrong.
This is not sunnah. Sunnah is when you cut your hair, if you want to keep long hair, then you cut your hair at this bone which we can feel behind our ears. Feel behind your ears, you can feel this bone over here. Sunnah is not keeping the hair up, cutting the hair at the earlobes. Sunnah is not cutting the hair up to the shoulders. But then we find a hadith. We find a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his hair up to the shoulders. We find a hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his hair up to the earlobe. And we also find a hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had his hair up to this bone at the back of the ear. So which is the sunnah? Which is the sunnah? We can find different ahadith, but you and I, my dear friends, not all of these are things that we should do amal on. Just because it's a hadith, it does not mean we are being told to practice that. We are being told, alaykum bi sunnati, we are being told that hold on firm to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we, and you and I, do not just pick up any hadith kitab and start practicing the hadith. You and I need to go to the ulama-i kiram and say, in this bab, in this chapter with regards to the hair, what do I do? So our ulama will explain to us that the sunnah is when you go for your haircut, then you cut your hair at the level which lies at this bone behind our ears. Then what about this, that we hear one hadith about the earlobe, we hear the hadith about the length going up to the shoulders. So the ulama explained that, look, a person, his hair, when it grows, it does not grow back, it grows longer. No one's hair grows shorter, does it? When we cut our hair and our hair starts to grow, have you ever heard that somebody's beard is decreasing? Naturally, no. When a person's hair, when it grows, it always goes longer. So the ulama say, when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so he said, we have three lengths of hadith now. This is not possible that he cut it at the shoulder and then the hair got shorter. This is not possible, is it? Nobody can cut their hair at the shoulders and the hair gets shorter. So he says, we understand that the sunnah is Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cut it. What did he want for himself? He wanted that he cut it at this length. And yes, sometimes when he got busy, he never had the time to maintain the hair, then it got longer up to the earlobes. And sometimes he went on a long journey, jihad somewhere, in an expedition somewhere. So he got so long, he never had time to cut his hair. He went all the way up to the shoulders. But when he came to the time to cut it, did he cut it on the shoulders? No. Did he cut it on the earlobe? No. When it came to do the thing which he desired for himself, then he would cut it at that bone which is behind the ear. You understand? This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam he spoke negatively about one companion. He said that ni'ma rajulu Khuraymun al-Asadi. Khuraym Asadi, my companion Hazrat Khuraym, he's such a great person. If only he didn't have 1, 2, 3 flaws inside of him. One of them was lawla tulu jummatihi. If only his hair wasn't so long. If only his hair wasn't so long. So look, he's saying negatively, speaking negatively about that person whose hair was getting long. And secondly, what we are discussing right now, no, lawla tulu izarihi, if only his izar wouldn't be so long. If only his izar wouldn't be so long. Coming back to the issue we were talking about, my dear friends, letting our trousers and letting our jubba hang below the ankles. Let me give you another report. First one, I said to you that, look, that new Muslim who came and he accepted Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as his introductory advices to Islam, introductory and his first advices to a new Muslim, he said to him that lift your trousers above your ankles, lift your trousers until nisful saq, lift your trousers until halfway between the knees and the ankles, and if you are not able to do so, then above the ankles. My dear friends, when Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu was murdered, you know, Salah was taking place, that murderer, the one who assassinated Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he cut through the safs, and as he went to Hazrat Umar, he stabbed Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu. He stabbed him, but Hazrat Umar didn't pass away there and then. Obviously, he collapsed, he fell down, the Sahaba tried to rescue him, they took him to another room, tried to cure him, tried to you know, stop these wounds and his cuts from losing blood, but slowly Hazrat Umar was losing blood, and they realized that Hazrat Umar is at his deathbed. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he is Amirul Mu'mineen, my dear friends.
After 10 years of ruling the Islamic world, this man who is lying down on his deathbed, you imagine how much of a responsibility and how many important instructions he needs to give to the companions. He needs to say, tell that governor in Yemen, make sure you do this. And tell the governors in Sham and Syria, make sure you do this. And tell them to do this, and tell them to do this. All the plans that he had for the future, he needs to inform other people. Yet, when one youngster comes into the company of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, if there was anything more important, he would have said it to him. My dear friends, he saw that this youngster, his trousers are below his ankle. So he said, Ya ghulam, irfa izarak. O young man, lift up your trousers above the ankles. Allahu Akbar. Who is saying this? We need to understand the context. Amirul Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu, after 10 years of leading the Islamic world, after 10 years of being the Khalifa, my dear friends, when this person is passing away, because he can see someone from my subjects, someone from the Muslims, he is walking into the fire of Jahannam because his trousers are below the ankles. I must warn him and I must inform him that lift your trousers above your ankles. Dear friends, this is the sunnah and the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of us, why do we purposely let our trousers go below the ankles? Why do we purposely do opposite to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because you and I have this feeling from inside that what I am doing is better than the way Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it. Let me give you an example. Our beards, I don't mean to pinpoint anybody over here, but I'm just giving you an example. Those people who trim their beards, they are claiming that my face looks better in this way than the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Indirectly, they are saying that I look more handsome in getting rid of my beard than keeping my beard. Whereas, my dear friends, if there was my sheikh, my respected ustad, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Durrat Sahib Hafizahullah, what does he say? That if there was any sign and if there was any act of more smartness and more handsomeness, then Allah Ta'ala would have chosen that for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he was the most handsome. But because keeping the beard 4 fingers long, this is the best style anybody can ever have. This is why Allah Ta'ala chose for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have a full fist beard, my dear friends. If there was anything more smarter and more handsome, Allah Ta'ala would have chosen that for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is it. The same concept for the trousers. You and I believe that, oh, lifting them above the ankles, this is old fashioned. Or this is out of fashion. Or this is something which won't look nice. Or some people are shy that other people will laugh at me when I go college, when I go university. One young person came to Hakimul Ummat, Mujaddidul Millat, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Alayh. And he said to him, oh, Hakimul Ummat, I go to college and I want to keep my beard. But I am scared. If I keep my beard, the girls in college, other Muslims in college, non-Muslims in college, when I go on the train, when I use the bus, they will laugh at me. They will laugh at me. Hakimul Ummat Rahmatullah Alayh took his attention towards the Akhirah and he said, Oh young boy, so what if they are laughing at you today? Tomorrow they will be crying and you will be laughing. Tomorrow when they will see, because they did not adopt the same lifestyle, they are crying because they are heading towards the fire of Jahannam and you will be laughing on that day. My dear friends, don't let any other fashion hold more importance in our eyes than the fashion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Definitely for you, O Muslims, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the perfect example. My dear friends, don't let any actor, don't let any film actor, don't let any music actor, don't let any footballer, cricketer, sports person, don't let any famous person, don't let any person become your role model other than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because your own experience tells you, today you are following this footballer, five months later you want to follow somebody else.
Today you want to follow his hairstyle. 5 months later you want to follow somebody else. Because he is wearing this jacket, you want to buy this jacket. 2 months later another actor is wearing another jacket, you want to buy that jacket. All of their fashions, my dear friends, they come and they go. They come and they go. There is only one fashion which will remain to the day of judgment. This is the fashion of mine and your beloved Habib Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why go here and there, here and there, here and there? Looking for this fashion, looking for that fashion. My dear friends, when Allah, the creator of every single creation, the creator of every single human being who is to step foot on this earth, my dear friends, when he has authorized and stamped the beauty and the fashion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can we go looking for fashion and smartness in any other example? So take the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the best example, my dear friends. So this was category number one. We all make intention, my dear friends. Today when we have understood how serious this is, not only when we come to the masjid will we lift our trousers, but whenever we buy trousers, we will get them tailored and we'll make sure 24/7 we keep them rolled up and above the ankles. And when we buy jubbas, when we buy kafni, we make sure that our izar and our jubba, they do not go anywhere near our ankles. My dear friends, in the Arab world today, it has become fashion that wear long jubbas which are literally touching the ground. These are against and contradictory to the fashion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it is a sin, my dear friends. Why is it such a big sin? Before we move on to the next category, why is it such a big sin? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained to us that whoever does this, he is doing this out of pride. Whoever does this, then he is doing this out of pride. And inna Allah la yuhibbul makhila. Allah Ta'ala does not like pride. Allah Ta'ala, my dear friends, does not like pride in his creation. Allah Ta'ala loves pride for himself. He says, Al-izzu izari wal-kibriya'u rida'i. Faman naza'ani wahidan minhuma adkhaltuhu finnari wala ubari. He says, look, take an example of that human being. When we go for Hajj and Umrah, we are wearing ihram. One bottom garment, one top garment. Let me ask you a question, my dear friends. If somebody was to come and pull your bottom garment, would you be happy with that? We would get into a fight with him. And why are you trying to pull my garment? My satr will open up. Allah Ta'ala gives this example and he says that, look, respect and honor, this is my bottom garment. Pride, this is my top garment. If anybody wants to take any portion of my pride and respect, and anyone wants pride and respect for himself, then adkhaltuhu finnar, I will throw him in the fire of Jahannam, wala ubali, and I do not care. So my dear friends, Allah Ta'ala, because he is the creator, he has 100% pride, he has 100% honor, 100% respect. Yes, if after worshipping Allah and following the commandments of Allah, Allah Ta'ala gives us honor and respect, my dear friends, we will preserve that honor and respect. But we do not go out of our way, push our weight around so that we beg and we ask others to respect us. This is wrong. This is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This respect, this type of honor and pride, it only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala wants humbleness for us, and letting your trousers go below the ankles, this is a sign of pride. It is against humbleness. So this was category number one. Category number two, and they are much shorter. Category number two, al-mannan. Al-mannan, isko Urdu mein kehte hai, ihsan jitane wala. احسان جتانے والا کوئی آدمی ہے اس نے کسی پر ایک احسان کیا ہے کوئی آدمی تھا پہلے مرتبہ ٹورنٹو میں آیا ہے بیچارہ اس کی بیوی ابھی تک ہندوستان میں ہے اس کے سب گھر والے ابھی تک ہندوستان میں ہے یہ بیچارہ اپنا پورا سیونگز خرچ کر کے یہاں ٹورنٹو آیا ہے تو آپ نے کہا کہ بھائی جب تک آپ سیٹل ڈاؤن نہیں ہوتے آپ میرے گھر میں ٹھہر جائے آپ میرے گھر میں ٹھہر جائے میں آپ کا کھانا پینا کا سامان کروں گا وہ 6 مہینوں تک آپ کے گھر میں رہتا ہے اب 1 سال بعد 2 سال بعد 3 سال بعد آپ کو اس سے کوئی کام ہے اور بسا اوقات یہ ناجائز کام ہی ہوتا ہے کہ بھائی مجھے اپنے گھر پہ موگیج لینا ہے میں نہیں لے سکتا ہوں میں اب آپ کا نام پہ لے لوں گا بہرحال جو بھی کام ہے 3 سال 5 سال 10 سال کے بعد اس آدمی کو کوئی کام نکالنا ہے اس سے تو پھر وہ اس کے پاس جاتا ہے بھائی تو میرا دوست ہے تو میرے لیے کام کر سکتا ہے. وہ آدمی بیچارہ کہتا ہے کہ دیکھو میرے یہ میرے بس میں نہیں ہے, یا یہ گناہ کا کام ہے میں نہیں کر سکتا ہوں. اب یہ کہتا ہے کہ نالائق, تجھے یاد نہیں ہے, تجھے یاد نہیں ہے تیری بیوی کو اس ملک میں بلانے والا کون ہے, تو تو میری اسپانسرشپ پر آیا تھا, تیری سب اولاد میری اسپانسرشپ پر آئے تھے, تجھے یاد نہیں ہے جب تیرے پاس کھانے کا پیسہ نہیں تھا, پینے کا پیسہ نہیں تھا, میں نے آپ کو پالا تھا, میں نے آپ کو کھلایا تھا. یہ آدمی اس نے جو احسان کیا تھا وہ اس پر وہ احسان جتاتا ہے, اللہ تعالیٰ اسے یہ سزا دیں گے. یہ منان ہے, یہ بہت بڑا گناہ ہے میرے دوستو. What does al-mannan mean? That person who after doing a favor to somebody, he keeps reminding him of his favor. He keeps reminding him that don't you know I have done this for you? And don't you know I have done this for you? And don't you know I have done this for you? My dear friends, this is al-mannan. Why is this something so bad? Why is this something so bad? Whenever we help anybody, whenever we favor anybody, whenever we support anybody, whenever we spend on anybody, then we are doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are doing something, Allah has given us reward in return. When we do something to somebody, when we help somebody, we do it for the sake of Allah. We have helped him. Allah ta'ala has manifolded that. Allah ta'ala has multiplied that and given us so much reward in return. So much reward in return, but we are not happy with that reward. So we are saying to Allah, no, I am not happy with your reward. I want something back. I want something back in return from him. So he has spoiled all his reward anyway. And now, my dear friends, only Allah has the right. Only Allah has the right to remind others of his ihsan. Ya ayyuhal insan, ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. Look, Allah Ta'ala is reminding human beings of his ihsan. Allah is reminding human beings. Nobody has the right, my dear friends, to remind others of the ihsan they have done for them. Remember this rule in life. Ek qaida yaad rakhna. Jab tum kisi par ihsan karte ho, to hamesha ke liye bhool jana usko. Kar liya kaam, Allah ke waaste kar liya, ab us kaam ko bhool jao. یہ یاد بھی مت رکھنا کہ میں نے اس کے لیے یہ کیا تھا, اور یہ فائنینشیل ڈیفیکلٹی میں تھا, میں نے اس کے لیے یہ کیا تھا, اور اس کا جھگڑا چل رہا تھا, میں نے اس کے لیے یہ کیا تھا. جب آپ کسی پر احسان کرتے ہو, اللہ کے واسطے کرو, پھر بھول جاؤ. اور جب کوئی تم پر احسان کرتا ہے تو تم ہمیشہ کے لیے اسے یاد رکھو. کیوں؟ اس لیے کہ قانون یہ ہے کہ جو لوگوں کا شکر ادا نہیں کرتا ہے, وہ اللہ کا شکر ادا نہیں کرتا ہے. تو جب کوئی تم پر احسان کرتا ہے تو تم کیوں ہمیشہ کے لیے یاد رکھو؟ اس سے کہ حل جزاء الاحسان الا الاحسان, احسان کا بدلہ احسان ہے. جب کسی نے تم پر احسان کیا ہے, اب تم بھی کوشش کرو کہ تم اس پر واپس احسان کر سکو. اور یہ بات یاد رکھنا, جب تم نے کسی پر احسان کیا تھا, اس وقت جب وہ آپ کے پاس مدد کے لیے آیا تھا, آپ کے پاس اختیار تھا. آپ اگر مدد کرنا چاہتے تھے, آپ ہاں کہہ سکتے تھے, آپ نہ کہہ سکتے تھے. اب جب آج آپ کو اس سے کوئی کام ہے, اب اس کو پورا اختیار ہے. اگر وہ آپ کی مدد کر سکتا ہے وہ کرے گا, اگر نہیں کر سکتا, یہ مجرم نہیں ہے, یہ کوئی بری بات نہیں ہے, یہ کوئی غلط بات نہیں ہے. اور ایک اور بات میں آپ کو بتاتا ہوں کہ جب کوئی آدمی کسی پر احسان کرتا ہے اور بعد میں وہ احسان جتاتا ہے تاکہ وہ اس سے کوئی کام کروا سکے, یہ اس بات کی دلیل ہے کہ جب اس نے اس پر پہلے مرتبہ احسان کیا تھا, یہ اللہ کے واسطے نہیں کیا تھا, یہ تو صرف اس وجہ سے کیا تھا تاکہ بعد میں جا کے اس کو کوئی بدلہ مل سکے. یہ اس بات کی دلیل ہے کہ اس نے اللہ کے واسطے نہیں کیا تھا. Few things that I've just said, my dear friends. First of all, I'm saying that look, remember one thing in life. When you favor somebody, when you help somebody, when you spend on somebody, do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forget about it afterwards. Don't keep on telling others, oh, don't you know I did this for this masjid? And don't you know I did this for this madrasa? And don't you know I did this for him? And don't, just forget about it now. And when someone does any good to you, then remember it forever. And why should you remember it forever? So whenever you have the opportunity to return the favor, you must return the favor. You should return the favor. And secondly, when you do some good to somebody, and then afterwards you keep reminding him of that good, so that you get something back from him in return. This is a proof that when you did it, you didn't do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You did it so that you can get something in return. You did it so that you can get something in return. Abhi ek mahine pehle, Sayyid Hazrat Maulana Arshad Madani Sahib Damat Barakatuhum UK tashreef laye the. Aur unke ek bayan mein unhone ye jumla farmaya tha ke kabhi kabar hum log kisi bacche ko Hindustan mein, Bangladesh mein, Pakistan mein, koi madrasa mein, dunya bhar hum kisi bacche ko sponsor karte hain ke bhai main is bacche ke alim banne ka pura kharcha utha lunga, pura kharcha utha lunga. Ya ye ke main is madrasa ke khane ka ek saal ka pura kharcha main utha lunga. Aur phir jab wo alim farigh hota hai, aap usse koi kaam karwana chahta hai, wo bichara janta hai ye najayiz kaam hai, wo kehta hai ke nahi main nahi kar sakta hu, to aap usse ye kehte hai ke nalayak tujhe sharam nahi aata hai, maine hi to aapko alim banaya hai. Hazrat farmate hai jaise hi isne ye kaha, maine hi aapko alim banaya hai ya aapke alim banne ka kharch uthaya hai. Ye 10 saal ki jo bahut zabardast neki thi, zabardast neki thi, uske ek jumle se ye puri neki barbaad ho gayi, puri neki barbaad ho gayi. Aur kabhi hum masjidon ke sath bhi ye karte hain ke kyun aap log meri baat kyun nahi mante ho, maine to is masjid ke liye ye kiya hai aur ye kiya hai aur wo kiya hai aur ye to mera ghar tha aur maine masjid ke liye waqf kar liya tha. Bhai aapne masjid ke liye waqf kar liya tha, aapne isliye waqf nahi kiya tha taaki jab ye masjid bane to aapki maan chalti rahe yahan, aapki baatein yahan chalti rahe. Nahi, ye Allah ka ghar hai, ye Allah ki baat ke mutabik chalta rahega. Agar aapne Allah ke liye khalisatan waqf kiya hai to iski daleel ye hai ke jo aap acha kaam karana chahte hain to fabiha, lekin aap apni marzi ka ya chalana chahte hain to ye sahi nahi hai. My dear friends, sometimes we do so much charity work as well. Sometimes we spoil our charity work. Sometimes we sponsor an alim in a madrasa, and my dear friends, after that alim graduates, we remind him afterwards that, you know, I am the one who has sponsored you and I am the one who has done this for you. I was saying that Hazrat Maulana Arshad Madani Sahib, who is a teacher of hadith, who is the head of Jamiat in India, when he came to England, he said this sentence, that when we say this one sentence, that, oh, I have done this for this alim and I have done this and I have done this, he said, in our one sentence, we lose all our reward of that good deeds we have done. This is what Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْتِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَىٰ. O believers, do not spoil the reward of your sadaqat and your charity work by doing man and by reminding others of this ihsan of yours. That's category number two. Yes, I must mention over here, sometimes we hear the mother saying to the daughter, okay, आपको शर्म नहीं आती है, मैंने आपके लिए ये किया है और मैंने 9 महीने तक आपको अपने पेट में रखा है और आपको पाला है, आपको दूध दिया था, आपको ये किया था. कभी बाप अपने बच्चों को ये कहते हैं, कभी उस्ताद अपने शागिर्द को ये कहते हैं. ये जायज़ है, ये जायज़ है. ये क्यों जायज़ है? इसलिए कि ये इसलिए नहीं कर रहे हैं ताकि उस बच्चे को रिटर्न में कुछ मिले. ये इसलिए कर रहे हैं क्योंकि ये बच्चा नाफरमानी की तरफ जा रहा है, ये शागिर्द ये नाफरमान बन रहा है. सो ये उस्ताद उसको अपना एहसान याद दिलाता है ताकि ये कम से कम उस एहसान में ये दब जाए और ये वापस ये सही राह पर आ जाए. Sometimes the mothers and the fathers say to the children that why are you doing this for? Don't you know I have done this for you? Don't you know I have done this for you? Don't you know I have done this for you? And sometimes the ustad said this to the student as well. This is permissible, my dear friends. And why is it permissible? Because he is not doing it with the wrong intention to get something back in return. He is doing it for the sake of Allah, that my son, he is going off track, my daughter, she is going off track, my student, he is going off track. Let me remind him of the good that I have done to him. Maybe he will come back on the right path. So anyways, category number two was mannan. And category number three, my dear friends, al-munafiqu sil'atahu bil-halifi al-kazib. A person, he is selling a product. A person, he is selling his product and he lies while selling the product. And whilst lying, he takes a fake oath and a wrong oath on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Koi aadmi apna saman bechta hai aur usme jhoot bolta hai, wo yahi ek bahut buri baat hai. Lekin us jhoot ke upar ye Allah ki kasam, jhooti kasam kata hai. For example, he has a product, he bought it for $1,000. Now he's going to sell it to his brother, his cousin, his friend. So he lies to him and he says to him that, oh, look, man, I bought it for $1,000. Sorry, I bought it for $1,500. But because you're my friend, I sell it to you for $1,200. Really, how much did he buy it for? Only $1,000. He didn't have to even tell the person, I bought it for this much. When you sell something, you know, you're not obliged to tell anybody, I bought it for this much. You can make as much as profit as you want. But just to make some more money and to make that person believe him, he says, look, man, I bought it for $1,500. I'm losing $300 just for you. Allah ki kasam, I bought it for like this. And by Allah, I did this. And by Allah, I did this. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, this person, just to make some worldly gain, just to make some more money, he lies and he takes a fake qasam and a wrong qasam on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person will get this punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala, these freak people, my dear friends, Allah will not look towards them with mercy. Allah will not talk to them with mercy. And Allah ta'ala will not purify them from their sins. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them a very, very severe punishment. I want to share with you just two more things. In one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my dear friends, he says that, oh my companion, وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّهُ لَيَّنْجُوَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ بِعَمَلِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. None of you will gain salvation and attain success tomorrow on the day of judgment through his a'mal. His a'mal will not help him. His a'mal will not guarantee him success. It is the mercy of Allah which will give him success. ہمیں اپنے a'mal پر یقین نہیں رکھنا چاہیے. ہمیں تو اللہ کی رحمت پر یقین رکھنا چاہیے. یہ ہمارے اعمال ہمیں جنت میں نہیں لے جائیں گے. ہاں, یہ اللہ کی رحمت ہمیں جنت میں لے جائے گی. اور یہ اس بات کی امید ہمیں رکھنی چاہیے کہ انشاءاللہ جب میں یہ نیک اعمال کروں گا تو یہ نیک اعمال اللہ کی رحمت کو کھینچ لے گی, اور پھر مجھے اللہ کی رحمت کے ذریعے سے مجھے اپنی جنت مل جائے گی. So we should never have trust in our a'mal, that our a'mal will grant us success. No, my dear friends, it is the mercy of Allah Ta'ala which will grant us success. You know what the companions ask? Wala anta ya Rasulullah? Even you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even you will not get success through your a'mal. He said, wala ana. Even me, through my a'mal, I will not get my success. إِلَّا أَيَّتَغَمَّدَنِيَ اللَّهُ بِرَحْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ وَفَضْلٍ. Except that Allah Ta'ala showers me with His mercy, then I will be successful tomorrow on the Day of Judgment. One day, Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam just came to me. And he told me a long incident, long story. That there was one pious man of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He used to live on the top of a mountain. He used to live at the top of the mountain, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the mountain was this big, and the mountain was this big. And he said, for 500 years, this man worshipped Allah. For 500 years, this man worshipped Allah. He lived alone. He never went to visit anybody. And for 500 years, Allah Ta'ala sent water to him, and Allah Ta'ala made a pomegranate tree for him. And all of this was done just for him. For 500 years. And he was so pious, when he passed away, he said to Allah, oh Allah, grant me death in the state of sujood. Grant me death in the state of sujood. Don't let any water come close to me. Don't let any earth come close to me. So that till the day of judgment, I can return in this state. I can remain in this state of sujood. Kitna nek aadmi hoga. How pious person he must be. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, when we're going up and down, we're coming to the earth, we're going back to the heavens, we see this person and he's still in his sujood. His incident has been written in taqdeer, and we have come to know about his incident. Now, tomorrow on the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala will say to the angels that send my servant into Jannah through my mercy. This servant will say, okay, oh Allah, not through your mercy, send me to Jannah through my amal. I have worshipped you for 500 years, and from the time I have died till the day of resurrection, I have been in sujood. So, oh Allah, say this to your angels, that send my servant to Jannah through his good deeds. Allah Ta'ala will say, oh, acha. Allah Ta'ala will call him, Allah Ta'ala will call the angels, and Allah Ta'ala will say, take hisab of my ni'mas and my favors and my bounties on him, and take hisab of his good deeds. Weigh my bounties and weigh the good deeds. Has he ever done shukr enough for these? My dear friends, first of all, Allah Ta'ala said, weigh the ni'mat of the eyes that I gave to him. The eyesight that I gave to him, weigh this ni'mat. My dear friends, in return of the eyesight, all the 500 years of worship and his long sajda, all of it got used up. Allah Ta'ala then said to him, your whole body is still left. I have just counted your eyes and all of your worship is used up. Oh my dear servant, who gave you these hands? Who gave you this mind to think with? Who gave you the kalima? Who gave you Islam? Who made you like this? Who made you like this? Who made you like this? Then that servant will say, oh Allah, please say this sentence that put this person into Jannah through your mercy. If this mercy of Allah Ta'ala is so important, my dear friends, then how deprived are these three categories of people that on that day of mercy, when even the Rasul is saying that only the mercy of Allah will help me, these people will be so far from the mercy of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So my dear friends, make this intention that we want to stay as far as we can from such sinful activities of letting our trousers hang below the ankles and of being mannan, someone who reminds others of his bounties and his favors. And thirdly, that person who lies and he takes a fake qasam on Allah just to sell his products and just to make more money. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalki Muhammadu wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. My friends, I am here with you inshallah for another 9 days. Inshallah, I am over here. Put your hand up if you did not benefit today. Har admi ko kuch na kuch to fayda hua hai na. Everybody got some sort of benefit, right? So why should we keep that benefit to ourselves? Kam az kam har admi ek admi ko to janta hai na. To hum koshish ye kare ki kal inshallah hum ek admi ko lekar aayenge. Ek admi sirf 24 hours mein hum ek admi par to kaam kar sakenge na. Ke usko kahenge ki bhai chalo UK se hamara ek dost aaye hai, ye hamare mehman hai aur ye apna waqt farigh karke hamare liye aaye hai, apni family aur baki sab cheeze qurban karke hamare yahan aaye hai, to chalo hum unki baatein sunne ke liye jayenge. Ek aadmi, to har aadmi ye koshish kare inshaallah. Wo main bhi yahan hu, aap bhi inshaallah aate rahe, aap aayenge to mujhe bhi khushi hogi inshaallah, mujhe bhi aapke aur logo ki barkat se inshaallah kuch amal ki taufeeq mil jayegi. So I'm here with you my dear friends for another 9 days inshaallah, and I'm saying that alhamdulillah we all, myself and we all, felt some sort of benefit today. So why should we be stingy with this benefit? Why should we be miserly with this benefit? Let's inform as many people as we can. So at least by tomorrow in 24 hours, at least invite one of our friends or our family members, our parents, our children, our brothers, sisters, invite them to the masjid. Bayans will take place after Asr inshallah. Bayans will take place after Fajr as well inshallah. And especially for the youth, a youth program has been organized, which will take place tomorrow, Saturday night after the Taraweeh. Saturday, isn't it? That's Friday night to Saturday morning, Friday night after the Taraweeh, the youth program will take place. So try to invite as many youngsters as you can, send your children as well. Jazakumullah khair, and make the small dua. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen. والصلاه والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله واليك يرجع الامر كله اللهم لك الحمد حمدا دائما مع دوامك ولك الحمد حمدا خالدا مع خلودك ولك الحمد حمدا لا منتهى له دون مشيتك ولك الحمد حمدا لا يريد قائله الا رضاك اللهم انت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والاكرام ربنا ظلمنا انفسنا وان لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. Oh Allah, you have been so kind to us. Oh Allah, you have granted us another month of Ramadan. Oh Allah, today you have been so kind to us. You have enabled us and granted us the tawfiq to read our Asr Salah with Jama'ah. And then after that, oh Allah, for your sake, we stayed behind in the masjid for another hour, listening to the words of Allah and your beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq to practice on these valuable advices that were shared with us. Oh Allah, grant us the tawfiq to make the beloved life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an example and a role model in our lives. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adha minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.